Do you feel in control of your life? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Heather Cook, who used witchcraft to gain more control of her life.
I think it's interesting because we all try in our lives, I believe, to gain control over someone or something or in our own life by outside sources. And in her case, it was witchcraft.
Yeah, well, control is really insecurity, right? Mm-hmm. We try to control the environment or things that happen or control our lives so we can make sure that we are safe.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, a person who is over-controlling, the reason why they're that way is because of a past hurt in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Where something happens, they were out of control.
Yeah.
They lost trust. And now they're saying, no, I'm taking control of my life. I'm taking control of everything. And I'm going to make sure things go my way. And that thing there that hurt me does never, ever happen again.
Mm. And I like what you said, because it's like fear and insecurity. And so we can also try to not only control our circumstances, but the people that are around us. And yeah. I know I struggled with that. Even with my mom, I would try to control what she did in hopes of somehow controlling something because my life was so out of control.
Mm, wow.
And so when I was able to give that up to God and say, okay, God, it's you who's in control, not me. I can't control anyone else, but I can control myself, my actions, the way I'm going to respond to situations. But when I give it to him, that fear and insecurity slowly leaves.
I think that's really good, you know, to know about that, because we can all become controlling, and even to the point where we try to control relationships around us, like you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a time in my life before I knew Jesus Christ, in relationships, I'm talking about romantic relationships,
right.
I was a kind of controlling guy, you know, and the reason why is because I didn't want a type of hurt that I got when I was younger, when my parents split up.
Yeah.
It was a type of event that I did not want to happen.
Yeah.
And when it happened, it was like, man, and I looked back kind of subconsciously, I was like, maybe I can do something so that wouldn't happen.
Right.
But really, every time I try to control my life, the very thing I was trying to make not happen ended up happening.
Yeah.
And I started turning to maybe sometimes wrong things in order to get more control of my life.
Mm.
It never turned out right.
That's so true. And the Bible says in Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When we place our trust in him, we no longer have to try to control our circumstances or other people. The Lord will help us. When we put our trust in Jesus Christ, he will lead us and guide us and give us the peace that we need for the struggles that we're going through. Let's hear now from our next guest after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Zen Asian Sushi and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Do you ever shop at the Northfield Stapleton Shopping Center? Consider stopping for lunch or dinner at Zen Asian Sushi. Zen Asian Sushi offers a fusion of Japanese, Thai, and Chinese cuisine, all in a brand new, clean, and family-friendly location. Check them out at zensushinorthfield.com or call them at 303-371-4644. That's zensushinorthfield.com or 303-371-4644.
Do aliens exist?
Is there more than one way to God?
Is casual sex okay?
Our new 11th hour TV show is tackling difficult
philosophical,
cultural,
and spiritual questions
in a fun new way from many perspectives to help you decide for yourself.
Watch us on the 11th hour, Mondays at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 6:30 p.m.
on CTN, available on Comcast and Dish Network.
Dish Network.
For more information, go to www.awakeningthenations.com. That's www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is Heather Cook, and she's going to share with us how she was sexually abused by a babysitter at a very young age.
Wow.
And at 11 years old, she was given a witchcraft book by her mom, ended up becoming a witch, and later on, at 28 years old, she had heart failure. This comes just after finding out she was pregnant. Let's find out what happened. Thank you so much, Heather, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me about, as a young girl, I understand that you had a very rough upbringing as it was, and you had a babysitter at 4 years old that started to watch you. What started to happen to you during that time?
Well, as a child, I remember being on my own a lot, and I didn't really have very many people to guide me. My home was not Christian. A young woman moved in next door with her family, and she became a mentor of sorts. I loved her. She was my hero. I would have done anything for her.
Mm.
So in my home was pornography.
Mm.
I was able to see that. So when she started doing things to me that I saw in those magazines, I didn't think it was wrong.
Mm.
And when she started taking pictures of me, like the ones in the magazines, I didn't know it was wrong.
Mm.
Wow.
That's really sad. How old was this babysitter? I mean, was she an older lady, younger?
She was actually a teenager herself.
Oh, gosh.
Oh.
And so here, your mom's thinking she's probably got someone good, a young teenager taking care of you, and there's this predator who's taking pictures of you. Not only that, but she started to invite people into the home to do different things with you sexually. Is that right?
As far as I know, yes, I do remember men coming to the house and watching as she would take the pictures of me. And eventually it led to some of them participating.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall a lot other than they would give me a bowl of ice cream that tasted like medicine.
Mm, that is so sad. So they're probably medicating you in order for you to cooperate with whatever their agenda was.
I'm assuming yes.
Oh, gosh.
So this happened how many years or months? How long did this go on, do you think?
My babysitter moved away just before I turned 9.
Mm.
So it was likely to happen over a span of 4 to 5 years, maybe.
Oh, gosh. Did you notice anything happening to you? Like you were different than the other kids? Did you lash out, have emotional issues? Tell me a little bit about that.
How I reacted to it, since I didn't know it was wrong, I started reenacting what was happening to me with other children in the neighborhood.
Oh, okay. So you thought that at this point, okay, this is normal. So maybe let me go and just hang out with the kids and do the same that I was taught.
Yes. My babysitter made it look like a game.
Mm.
Oh.
That's so sad. And I think there are a lot of parents who are listening right now who are like, gosh, you know, nowadays it's so
horrified.
To even have someone watch your kids because these things are going on. And it's kind of frustrating. So as you started to get older, God was not really a part of your life. Your mom introduced you to a witchcraft book. Can you tell me about that?
When I was 11, my mom introduced me to what she called the family secret, that I came from a long line of witches, and she began giving me books. I was kind of a loner at school already and felt powerless, like I had no control, because most of my life I didn't have control of anything, even my own body.
Mm.
So when she gave me these books that told me I could control things, I bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Mm. Wow. So you're 11 years old and you get this book. What was the first witchcraft thing that you performed that you actually saw a result in?
When I was in 7th grade, I had a lot of bullies. One girl I can remember, I cast a spell using candle magic. My desire was some sort of digestive ailment. 3 days later, in gym class, she collapsed from her appendix rupturing.
Oh my gosh. So to you at that time as a young girl, seeing this enemy, this bully, get what she deserved, so to speak, in your mind at that time, what did that do? Did that help empower you to continue into this witchcraft?
Yes.
Wow. So tell me a little bit more about this book and where it took you and how many years you were involved with witchcraft and what that entailed.
It wasn't just one book. It started with one book. It was called Practical Candle Magic. I bought more books because I love to read. I taught myself to read when I was 4.
Mm.
So reading has been my escape.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought more books and I would just read and read and read and learn more about magic and divination. And more or less, I was in that world for about 17 years.
Now, did it ever freak you out? Because I know when I go into a certain place or area, I can feel certain presence, you know, like spiritual things that just aren't right. Did you feel spiritual things or did you see anything that was evil while you were doing witchcraft or practicing, maybe doing tarot cards?
One thing I can recall for certain, I'll tell you 2 stories. It was late at night and it was just after Halloween. I heard like a growl coming from my hallway. And at first I thought it was my dog. So I went and checked on my dog and my dog was fine. And I lay back down and the growl came back. Only this time it was otherworldly and I was paralyzed. I couldn't move. I was terrified.
Wow.
And I felt so guilty at the time because I left my 2-year-old son in the other room. And I was so terrified, I couldn't get out of my own bed.
I understand that when you started to do tarot cards, you would see things in the future. But you knew you were dealing with demonic spirits. Is that right?
As a pagan, I didn't believe in Satan. But looking back now, I know for 100% certainty that they were demons.
So as a pagan, what are some of the things they do as far as coming together? It's just kind of like how you picked up a book. Christians is very obvious. We go to church. Pagans, how do they come together? Do they kill animals or people or what happens?
Some do kill animals. They're trying to stray away from that because a lot of the pagan communities are trying to present themselves as good. And they're trying to, I guess, make their reputation better. But as for when they come together, when I was a pagan, the internet was just being born. And it opened a whole new world of connectivity in the pagan community. And they were able to create large billboard groups. They started having large meetups at different places, and covens grew enormous. The coven that I was aware of and friends with up in Indianapolis had like 60 members.
Wow. You know, there's a lot more to your story and how at 28 years old, you had heart failure. But before all this news came to you, you had this dream that totally changed your life. And we're going to find out about that on our next show. So thank you so much for being with us. And we're going to pray for our guests now who are in witchcraft or paganism. And they think, well, what's so wrong with it? But you know now, looking back, that it was not what you thought it was. Is that right? It wasn't something that was good. It was bringing you down into darkness.
It's like your mind and your heart constantly fight with one another because your heart yearns to know God. But your mind is convinced of something that's false.
Okay. Well, we're going to pray for our guests right now.
I want to take this moment to really address something she said. I heard her say that it was rooted in a control and that that was something that was offered. And that's really interesting to me because I think a lot of us and those who are listening would say that we all kind of desire a certain amount of control of our lives and the things that happen to us. We don't want to be out of control. But the good news is, according to the Gospels, is that we can give that control over to someone even better than ourselves, better than any other spiritual entity, but we can give the control of our lives to God. And when Jesus came to die on the cross, he showed us that he loves us enough to die for us, that he is worthy to give the control of our lives to him. So Jesus, we take a moment right now, for anyone who's listening, has never done this, we just say, Jesus, we know you're the Son of God, but right now we take time to relinquish control of our lives over to you. And we give you our future, even our present, and even our past. We ask for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.